You're listening to Give Me the Bible with Len. Today's program is entitled Trouble. Hello, my radio friends. Welcome to the program today. I hope what you hear will be a blessing to you. 2020 has been a very unsettling year with, on top of everything else, people getting sick, dying, and being impacted in social and economic ways of major importance because of the COVID pandemic. Any observer can easily see that we live on a very troubled planet. But did you know that in 2020 there have been 10 armed conflicts going on? Some of these have continued from previous times, but war is happening in 3 continents in the world. Of course, crime and skirmishes are happening right across the world, even in this lucky country, Australia. Currently, to news reports, China and Australia are not seeing eye to eye, and China, it seems, is not the flavour of the month with many other countries. Even worse are the threats coming out of China. On the 100th anniversary of Chinese communism, Chinese President Xi Jinping warned that foreign powers would get their heads bashed if they attempted to bully or influence that country. That sounds very much like a threat of war. And China has no intention of allowing foreign powers to influence its internal affairs. I've visited China 4 times, but I wouldn't dare to go there again given the current repression of human rights in that country. All this reminds me of some of the things Jesus said in an answer about the conditions on planet Earth before the end of the world. What he said is recorded in Matthew 24, and you could take time to read this chapter for yourself. And I'll read just verses 6 and 7. He said, "You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places." Now, I know there's more, but I just wanted to focus on these 2 verses today. One thing stands out with all these troubles, and that's what Jesus said how his people should react. He said, "See to it that you're not alarmed." Some may ask, but haven't such things been happening in the world for centuries? Yes, is the answer. But there have been more natural disasters and more social unrest in the beginning of this century compared to, say, the latter part of last century. How come, amidst the difficulties humanity faces, Jesus counseled his believers not to be troubled? And secondly, if believers are not to be anxious about what's happening around them, why? I'll deal with these 2 questions shortly. Looking back to the times just after creation, the earth had very few inhabitants. There were Adam and Eve, their first son Cain, their second son Abel, and possibly some daughters. The Bible does not record the names of the daughters. Abel was a husbandman, that is, he kept flocks of animals. Cain worked the land and grew fruit and vegetables, and maybe even cereals and nuts. In the course of time, each brought an offering to the Lord. Abel's offering was portions of one of the firstborn of his flock. Cain brought some of his produce. God accepted Abel's offering, but did not accept Cain's offering. Now why? Abel's offering represented Christ, giving his life in the future to save people from their sins. Cain's offering was simply a gift. Because Cain's offering was not accepted, he became furiously jealous, and instead of being angry with God, he became angry with his brother. And you can read all about this in Genesis chapter 4. Cain planned violence on his innocent brother and murdered him. As a result, Cain was banished from his homeland. Genesis 4, verses 13 and 14 is this verse, or these two verses. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." In this statement there is something very important. Summarized, I think it is that that people are subject to restlessness when they are separated from God. The converse of this is people belonging to God have much more peace in their lives. And the Bible supports what I've just said. Psalms 4 verse 8 says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." And that's reiterated in Psalm 23:1-6, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm was written by King David. If you read his story, you will understand that especially during his life as a young man, David had to face many troubles. For a time, he was a fugitive, fleeing from King Saul and a group of his elite soldiers, who hunted him with the intention of killing him. But God protected David. That's why he could write such beautiful poetry about being calm during trouble. And then we come to the promise of Jesus, who, as recorded in Matthew 11:28-30, said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, if someone asks me, "Len, are you concerned by global warming, erosion of human rights, the plight of refugees, threats from China, restrictions of our freedoms by government in response to pandemics and so on?" My honest answer is yes, I am concerned. But I have a hope that goes beyond the present. My hope is in the fact that for those who are obedient and faithful to the Lord, there is something much better ahead. Besides that, I've committed my life to the Lord, and whatever is His will for me is okay with me. Because of that hope, I know I'm safe. It's a bit like what happened on the Sea of Galilee. The story is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, from verses 35 to 41. It says, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" What those disciples failed to realize back then was that they were safe while in the presence of the Lord. And so it is even in our day. In the original Trinity hymnal is the hymn, "The Lord's Our Rock," the first verse, which goes like this: "The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm." As Christians who love and serve the Lord, we have peace and security right now. The world may be crumbling to pieces, but there's no need to fear. Our lives are in the Lord's hands. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, this is one of my favourite sections of the Bible. It's a statement from Jesus who said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now I want to share a little story with you. It's about George Muller. He's well known for his trust in God. He established orphanages in Bristol, England, and housed, fed, clothed and educated over 11,000 English orphans. I want to share with you how, although he had to face many challenges, God protected him in times of trouble and provided for him. You know, Muller never made requests for financial support, nor did he ever go into debt. Even though the five orphanage homes cost more, in current value, $20 million Australian dollars to build. Many times he received unsolicited food donations only hours before they were needed to feed the children, further strengthening his faith in God. Muller was in constant prayer that God touch the hearts of donors to make provisions for the orphans. For example, on one well-documented occasion, thanks was given for breakfast when all the children were sitting at the table, even though there was nothing there to eat. As they finished praying, the baker knocked on the door with sufficient fresh bread to feed everyone, and the milkman soon after gave them plenty of fresh milk because his cart broke down right in front of the orphanage. Another story. Once, while crossing the Atlantic on the SS Sardinian in August 1877, his ship ran into a thick fog. He explained to the captain that he needed to be in Quebec by the following afternoon. But the captain, Captain Joseph E. Dutton, said that he was slowing the ship down for safety and Muller's appointment would have to be missed. Muller asked to use the chart room to pray for the lifting of the fog. The captain followed him down, claiming it would be a waste of time. But after Muller prayed a very simple prayer, the captain started to pray, but Muller stopped him, partly because of the captain's unbelief, but mainly because he believed the prayer had already been answered. Muller said, "Captain, I've known my Lord for more than 50 years, and there is not one instance that I've failed to have an audience with the King. Get up, Captain, for you will find that the fog has gone." When the two men went back to the bridge, they found the fog had lifted, and Muller was able to keep his appointment. The captain became a Christian shortly afterwards. Muller's faith in God strengthened day by day, and he spent hours in daily prayer and Bible reading. Indeed, it was his practice in later years to read through the entire Bible 4 times every year. Muller's story is of someone who trusted God. God looked after Daniel in the lion's den, the 3 Hebrew young men thrown into the fiery furnace, and the Apostle John, whom the Romans tried to destroy by boiling him in a cauldron of oil. In each of those cases, God protected those people from harm. But what about others, the apostles, for instance? All of them, except John, were murdered. Faithful followers of Christ through the ages have been martyred for their faith. What about the over 50,000 people alive today, Christians that is, imprisoned or exiled because of their faith? Maybe you've been a faithful Christian, but have problems in your life, problems like sickness, rejection, financial difficulties, or being treated unjustly. Let me remind you of this verse in 2 Timothy 3:12. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now we're going to have a short break and go on straight afterwards.
Eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder.
Just before the break, I read to you from 2 Timothy 3:12, which says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I want to remind you that none of this bad stuff comes from God. We live in a world affected by the virus of sin. We live in a world largely controlled by Satan, and Satan does not play fair. On one hand, God seems to protect some of his followers, yet others appear to have trouble all around them. And how do we make sense of this? All followers of Christ have to realize that they must face issues and trouble in their lives. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's Matthew 16:24. If Jesus had said, if you follow me and you'll have no trouble in your lives, people would follow him for the wrong reasons. So how can Christians have peace although affected by trouble? And I think the answer is found through the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote a great deal to the churches under his care, encouraging members to be faithful. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 11 about his own troubles, including being shipwrecked 3 times, whipped, beaten, stoned, and left for dead. Had God abandoned him? No way. Eventually, Paul, according to tradition anyhow, was beheaded by the Romans in around AD 64. Given all that, how could he have had peace? Here's what he wrote to the young minister Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 to 8. The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all your duties of a ministry. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who've longed for his appearing. Although there are many positive benefits in being a Christian, it's possible to have peace that passes all understanding amidst trouble, because we Christians have God's promises of a better life to come. And that's explained in Titus verses 12 and 13. It, referring to the grace of God, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Friends, sometime soon God will say enough, no more, and he will bring all things on earth to a finale. Jesus is coming again, and will take his faithful people back with him to heaven. His kingdom of glory will be established. 2 Peter 3:13 confirms this. He says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." No more sin, no more heartache, no more trouble. That's what Christians through the ages have been waiting for. And that is why we can have peace, even in the midst of trouble, right now. It's my hope and my prayer that you'll join me and many others in a strong relationship with the Lord. Trouble, sickness, pain and death will be one day gone forever. Do you think that's worth waiting for? You bet.